Okay. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The thought is, the Lord Jesus Christ, behold His glory. The disciples, when He was on the earth, they beheld the glory of the Lord. They beheld the glory that Jesus had. They saw Him with their own eyes. Today, we see Him spiritually, don't we? They were there. They could walk with Him. They could talk with Him. They could look Him in the eye. He could look at them. But they beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. They knew He wasn't just an ordinary man. They knew that He was the Son of God. Just think a minute what it would be like if Jesus was physically in this building and you could behold His glory. Physically. Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? It would be what's called a life-changing experience. When you see Him face to face with these two eyes, that would just change your whole perspective, wouldn't it? The things that used to be important would not be so important anymore. In fact, I just think about Him being here. All of the other things would be secondary. He would be first. I can imagine Mary Magdalene and Lazarus' sister Mary. I think it might have been the same one. I'm not sure. But one scripture said that when Jesus came, Martha was busy trying to, prepare food, probably trying to make everything nice for the Savior. And she was just busy trying to take care of stuff like that. Maybe putting nice napkins on the table and dishes, maybe the best dishes they had, all kind of things like that. But Mary was just sitting at His feet, listening to His word. Which one would you rather be, Martha or Mary? I think I would be Mary. I mean, I'm not a lazy person, but I would want to sit at His feet, beholding His glory, because every word that came out of His mouth was so important, I wouldn't want to miss anything. And so the disciples had an advantage. But we have today an advantage because He gives us this privilege to behold His glory even today. As we read His word, as we meditate on Him, as we pray, the glory of the Lord comes before our face, doesn't it? Let's go to 1 John 1:1. This is 1 John.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Read on.
For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Notice, see, they were able to handle him. You know, they could walk along, put their hands on him, and all of that. They had that opportunity. And then they declared it to others. Today, we have that opportunity through the Spirit to handle. We can't physically do it, but we can do it spiritually. So we want to have our minds and our hearts turned toward God to behold the glory of God. And when we do this, we're changed. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. It makes a difference in us. What as we begin to see Jesus for who he is, it changes our perspective on life. It changes our attitude. It changes our motives. It changes our way of thinking. It changes. When we really see him and behold his glory, we're not the same. It does something to us. It when we see him and actually handle him by going to him, by giving our heart to him, by repenting of our sin, by letting him come into our heart, all of this makes a change. And we begin to behold his glory as the only begotten of the Father. It makes a change. We're not the same. When we allow him to come into our heart, we're different.
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
So we beheld him, and as we beheld him and we partake of him, then we change, and we're changing to his image. It changes us from the old ways of life to the new life. The old ways are no longer good enough anymore. We can't live those things and do those things that we used to because of the glory of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at how this affects us. It affects us. Romans 12 and 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So your mind is changed. Maybe before you got into the things of God, before you beheld his glory, before you accepted him into your heart, you could say anything you wanted to and it didn't faze you. But when he comes in and makes these changes and he's glorified in our face, we're careful about the things we say. We can't do it. We can't say things like we used to could say. We can't do things the way we used to could do. It's 1 Corinthians 9 and 1.
Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?
How do we do this? This was Paul. He's an apostle. We're going to look at Paul. He used to persecute the people of God, but once he saw Jesus, it was not the same anymore. He said, am I not an apostle? He was changed because he's seen the glory of God. On the Acts, let's go to Acts 9, and we'll talk about this right now. And what? He was going to get letters, or he had letters, to gather those that were followers of Jesus and have them put in prison. That's what he was doing. But then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And when he did, he was not the same.
And yet Saul breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
You see, he met Jesus. He got a revelation for himself. Sometimes people might, I might talk to you, someone, and I might say, you need to be saved. And you need to come to the altar. You need to pray. And you need to give your heart to the Lord. And you need to ask him to forgive you for your sin. I might say that to you. And that's good. But when God reveals himself directly to you, it makes a difference. You come. Some people come just because the preachers say you should come. But when he deals with your heart and you come, it's going to make a difference in you. The Lord dealt with me at 12. I was raised among the saints. I was raised this way. My mother was saved. And younger than that, I was doing what I thought she wanted me to do. I was trying to live. I considered myself saved. But I heard a message. I think it was probably in Monarch. That everyone must repent of their sins. I was a child. So a child following their parent, telling them don't do this and do that, that's good. Because the scripture said children obey your parents in the Lord. But when the Lord dealt with me and showed me that I needed to repent, I got a revelation for myself. And so I repented. That revelation has lasted me all these years. All these years. There was one time I got discouraged. I gave up for the Lord for about 30 minutes. And then I said, no, that's not what I want. But I'm saying, when God reveals, when you see the glory of God for yourself, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Nothing anybody could say is going to change that. I was thinking about how, and I've told this so many times, in high school, junior high, elementary, it didn't matter. In college, it didn't matter what others thought. I had a revelation from God. We need to behold the glory of God. And when we behold his glory, what it will change the way we act, the way we look at life, the way we do things. We realize that this is between me and God. Your relationship needs to be between you and God. You know, you don't need to just do things because somebody said, that's good. But it's going to take this revelation from God to help us through the hard times. To make us do what's right when we may be tempted to do the wrong thing. So, let's move on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:8.
And the last of all, he was singing of me also, and of one born out of Eli, who died. Find the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
Paul realized that God, after this revelation, and he gave his heart to God, and he followed Jesus Christ, he didn't even feel worthy. He felt he was the least of all the apostles, because he persecuted the church of God. He persecuted the people of God. But yet, he labored hard, and his labor was because of the revelation that he received from God, from Jesus himself. And so we see how that this made a change in him, from being a persecutor now to being an apostle, even though he felt he was the least of them. Those disciples were apostles. They had walked and talked with Jesus. They had prayed, no doubt, been there where he prayed and for them and over them. They had this kind of relationship. And to him, no doubt, they were more capable or more worthy, I would say, of being an apostle. So he didn't really feel worthy. He felt the least. But yet God accepted him. And the same with us today. We didn't get to do like the disciples did. But today, because he has revealed himself to us, we can have that same relationship that they had. John 20, 25 to 29.
The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hand, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples went in, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believer." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed."
So Thomas got a chance to handle him. He got a chance to feel those nail prints in his hand and feel the pierced the side. And he believed then. The others had seen the Lord after his resurrection. He hadn't seen him. And he said, "Unless I see it, you know, I'm not going to believe." But Jesus allowed him to touch him. And he said, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus also said, "You've seen me. Because you've seen me, you believe." He said, "But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." Today, we have not seen him, yet we believe him. We see him spiritually, but we have not touched him physically. And yet we believe, and God puts blessing on us if we can just accept him because we believe in him. And it's a blessing, and it's going to carry us through life if we will just behold his glory. When, John 17 and 24.
"Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
He wants us to behold His glory. And He's prayed for us. And I thank the Lord that we have the privilege to behold His glory, even in 2026, years and years and years later, we can behold the glory of God. But now I want to look at a few things. What is this glory? What did Christ bring to us? Let's go to John 8 and 12. You know what He brought to us? He brought us light. He brought light to the world. In a world of darkness, He brought light. And this light leads in the path of righteousness and purity. Living right, being able to live right. The light of God in our heart allows us and helps us to live right.
Then Jesus again unto them, saying, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
If we follow Him, we're going to walk in light. We're not going to walk in darkness. Sin and wrong is darkness. But that light that Jesus brought leads us in the right path. It leads us to do the right thing and not to do sinful things. Also, He brought grace and truth. He is the God of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Lord of grace and truth. We can live right. Truth is the word of God. Truth is the right, what is right, unfallible. Sometimes people will tell you something and you think it's true and you find out it's not true. But God, Jesus' way is truth, and there's no fault in it. There's no, you can't prove it different. Sometimes you'll say, well, for instance, I could say, look at this. I think this is lemon juice. I mean, it's yellow, right? It's olive oil. But I could say that this is lemon juice, right? Now, how am I going to know that this is real lemon juice? I could prove it, right? I mean, I could prove whether it is. If you taste it, you'll know it's olive oil and not lemon juice. So, me saying this is lemon juice doesn't make it true. But when you prove something is true, then it's no fallacy in it. Well, the same way with Jesus. Jesus brought truth to this world. People have many things they can say. And if you follow it, you can think, oh, that sounds good. You can follow it, but it's not truth. But we want truth. Jesus brought that. I was listening to a message from a guy was preaching in that film yesterday. And the way he talked like that, everybody, Jesus, God is for you. He's on your side. He's backing you up. Even if you got upset and you cursed at somebody, and he said, I'm like, he did things that's not right. Now, I could believe that if I want to, but that won't stand according to the scripture. Because Jesus is not backing you up and you doing anything you want to do and you doing wrong. So truth has to be founded by the word of God, doesn't it? If the word substantiated, we can count on it. But if the word is against it, we'll know it's not truth. So Jesus brought grace and truth. Let's go to John 1 and 17.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
That's where it comes from, Jesus Christ. This is the glory that we can see. We can see a Lord that is truth, a Lord that's gracious. Let's go to Romans 20, 5, 20 and 21.
Moreover, the law in it that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. We don't have to live a sinful life anymore. We don't have to listen to a person that tell you that you can't help it and you got to live in sin. And but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he got rid of the sin business. And he doesn't want us to sin. So we need to listen, read the word of God and know that sin is not pleasing to God. Is righteousness and truth and purity. This is what Jesus Christ brought. And so we want to be encouraged to behold the glory of the Lord and know that he makes a change in our life. We don't have to live the way we used to live anymore because the glory of Christ Jesus. Pray for me.